for tuning in to the call sheet. My name is Keith Coogan. I'm a Capricorn, 42 years old, Los Angeles native, and thank you for tuning in. We are in the middle of a heat wave nationwide. It couldn't be hotter. Thousands of records have been broken all across the East Coast. The Midwest is just sweltering. It's 104 degrees in Minnesota. And with, of course, humidity, which we don't have in Los Angeles. It's a nice, dry desert. A desert of the mind. Thanks for tuning in. We are recording live for those that listen on podcasts, because the show is available not only on iTunes as a podcast. And I know, see, people do that. Oh, I got a podcast. And oh, yeah, go and download episodes. And so, see, we're live. I think that's a big difference, and we have been honored with an addition to the channel, Skid Row Studios channel on iTunes Radio. You can hear us live right there on the radio. A Stitcher, I never got into the Stitcher, so if you're into Stitcher, we're there too as well. The call sheet, we're here live, Saturday nights, almost every week, and if you are experiencing heat wave, I've heard power outages, just deaths from this. I myself have gone to the hospital for heat stroke right in the middle of a movie shoot. They thought I was on drugs and I almost got fired. That was awful. If you have a story, 800-893-9562. That number again is 800. What's the number again? 893-9562. That sounds pretty good.
That sounds about it.
Nice. Yeah, I tried to memorize it, but you know, it gets harder and harder as you get older to memorize your lines as an actor. And as a child, you would memorize by rote, and you'd have a coach or a mom coach walking you through the scenes and oftentimes helping you with choices or, you know, try it this way or that. They'll love this. And so you learn it by rote, and it's just, you know, repetition and doing the lines over and over again in the cues. And then you grow older and you become an artist and script. Who needs script? Let's explore the character. And I kind of know what the scene is. And now there's mumblecore and Apatow style entertainment where they really don't pay much attention to the script, except for what, you know, part of the movie they're in. Is it the meet cute part? Is it the just horrible third act that all movies devolve into? Except for Ted. I'm understanding that Ted is working and making grown men cry. And if it's the teddy bear, that's great. I didn't have a teddy bear. I had the Star Wars figures and G.I. Joe and such. No teddy bear, no Teddy Ruxpin. Tried to get goddamn Teddy Ruxpin for my little brother when it came out, and it was unfucking available. We even had a special Sears outlet in Santa Monica, Just Toys. The whole other side of the road, there would be one with Just Toys. Rows and rows of them, and gone. So he did not get his Teddy Ruxpin. And of course, you get it like 7 months later. Here, trend's over, man. I don't want my Teddy Ruxpin anymore.
I had one of those.
Did you do Beanie Babies as well?
I had a few of those. I don't think I was as into them, but
they're not fun to play with. Beanie Babies, you know, Teddy Ruxpin. This guy is up in your girl, chatting your ass, playing games, reading stories, and singing songs. Creepy as hell.
Yeah. I got mad at him because he wouldn't say my name, so I threw him off a balcony.
For those of you tuning in, Mindy Jorgensen, our engineer, a producer for the night, helping out. Has her own band, a show coming up Tuesday night. Where's that?
Oh, yeah, Tuesday at the Redwood, downtown L.A.
Redwood, downtown L.A. It's a really great vibe if you've ever been scared to come to downtown Los Angeles. Good, be scared. Be on your toes. But it's fun. There's a lot less people you would instantly want to cross the street from. It's you know, it's still there, the element's there, but right in the middle of the pocket of a resurgence in yuppieism. It's not hipsters, it feels like, and these people in suits, they look like lawyers and attorneys and out-of-town talent that were like wooed by their corporation to come. Well, no, we got a great condo, it's right near Staples and you'll love it. You know, food and everything. Yeah, after 10 o'clock, this town shuts down. There's no...
Yeah, downtown.
And the bars, of course, close promptly at 1:15. Well, we record here from downtown Los Angeles. And it's just beautiful down here. Please come Tuesday night. See what's the sleazy name of your band?
Dangerously Sleazy.
Just Dangerously Sleazy. We have our sad news again. This is now a topic I'm just going to call Celebrity Death of the Week because, you know, people have been passing at quite a big rate. Big stars, little stars, young and old. Andy Griffith has died. And I don't know, you know, generationally, I wasn't even into the Andy Griffith Show, like reruns on TV. I was in Gilligan's Island and, you know, Bewitched and crap like that. Didn't watch too much Opie. I didn't identify with the Opie or Beaver or any of that shit. Andy Griffith, I think it'd be great if there were stories of like, oh, this man, you know, the like bondage houses in town or like the girls come out after his death. Well, we waited, but this was a dirty man. Oh my God. And the drugs he would consume, he would beat us mercilessly. He paid very handsomely too. Evil powers in sinister circles. Now, Andy Griffith is a great man and will be remembered. But some of his earlier roles were as a heavy. So look up young Andy Griffith. He plays a great Southern racist. You know, beloved kind of a dad for everybody. Andy Griffith, you will be missed. On the opposite side of Andy Griffith, you could say Justin Bieber at 18 years old. And has been busted for going 80 miles an hour was the ticket on the 101 freeway. This happened Friday morning. The 101 notoriously gets jammed right when it meets up with the 405, and it was right near that interchange. He was apparently running from the paparazzi and an off-duty or retired California Highway Patrol that had been a cycle officer. And so he was very familiar with speeds, and he said he was doing easily 100 miles an hour on the freeway and weaving dangerously close in and out of cars. An 18-year-old kid. And further, so I pieced together more things that I have read as it's broken on TMZ, my favorite site. TMZ and Deadline, which is Nikki Fink's Deadline.com, Deadline Hollywood. So the business side is over on Nikki Fink's Deadline and TMZ for all the scandal. Justin was with the security personnel in his car or entourage, was driving his $130,000 gift that he got for his 18th birthday. The Karma, it's chrome. The entire car is chrome. 18-year-old kids. Okay, so I did get a motorcycle when I was 18. I was mad at my mom. He seems to be spinning quite not readily out of control. I don't know. And you know what? He's probably not, you know, drinking and driving. He doesn't seem to be the type to get into the Hollywood nightlife crowd or whatever. He's too fucking busy. He's working. He's got a tour riding on his shoulders. But day before he leaves town to go on his tour, he gets into assault, allegedly with a photographer. And now he's back from his tour or on a break or something. And here he is running and gunning around Los Angeles and could get someone killed, maybe even himself. If you do go to the celebrity death pool, see if I can find that. I always like to provide URLs for my listeners because you are on the internet most of the time. Some in our cars, some on their bicycles. Celebrity death pool. I don't know if this is the .com. Stiffs.com. STIFFS. Great. Now we're going to have that stupid whistling in our head all day. Thank you, Andy Griffith, dead at 86. Born June 1st, 1926, died July 3rd, 2012. Nora Ephron was another recent pass away. What this site is you go on and you place your bets for who's the next one going to kick it. And they take odds. And some people think it's morbid, but I think it's awesome. Love how celebrities' deaths, you know, come in threes. Now they're just coming. Now they just keep coming. And I keep track. I can't keep track of which grouping of three is this. Do you put composers and like, you know, writers or like, people, you know, famous car drivers in the same group as, you know, famous singers or actors? Do they all group together?
I don't know.
Is a poet emerit from, you know, I don't know what that means or where the fuck school you go for that, but do they get the same, you know, they get looped in? Sometimes they do. They'll stretch. There'll be like two really good deaths. And then this guy, you know.
Yeah.
Is he like who? What movie? What? I didn't see Rio Bravo. Sorry. I don't know. No, all respect. Hey, we all die. My grandfather, who had pissed off a lot of people and, you know, a lot of people loved him. He passed at 69 and had quite a funeral here in Los Angeles. It was 1984. And most of the Bowery Boys, the kids, Hunts Hall and Gabe Dell and them were all still alive and just raged on down at Holy Cross Cemetery or whatever down by the LAX airport and was a Radisson. I don't know what hotel it is now, right by the airport. And just amazing seeing these two real actors and people that had helped create and bridge from vaudeville onto film and television, took their acts and, you know, brought it to audiences and all had, you know... Back in the day, if you were just working in town, that you had kind of a name and everybody knew there was very limited work, you know, certain studios that would hire 3-4 major big studios. And some of them, I think at one point, MGM had 2,000 stars. They're like every star in the galaxy. Yeah, a bunch of, you know, up-and-comers and some has-beens, but they just kept keeping them on the roster. You never know who is going to hit with audiences. So I love... I love that we do celebrate our dead celebrities. Whitney Houston, truly then she really did have the impact that like a leader, a religious leader, a community leader, literally the kind of pull like an Obama or Nelson Mandela, Whitney absolutely touched that many people. And so, you know, it didn't resonate with me quite so much. But every woman in my life and all the gay men in my wife's life, they were like, oh my God, Whitney's dead. To some, you know, different people. Like when Hunter S. Thompson finally got weak and gave into his pain and took his own life. That was something, you know, I was affected by reading Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail or that kind of risk taking to be a groundbreaker and to be mass media success. That's work. That is discipline and work and steady and being able to do it night after night on tours and album after album after album and keep the instrument up. And authors are just degenerate drug addicts and alcoholics and, you know, have this peak, an early novel or something, or maybe late in their life. And the rest of their work can be crap. But, you know, some inspire more than others. So, well, Andy Griffith, you will be missed. More than 1,000 gunshots on the 4th of July in Birmingham, Alabama. This is an increase. They have one of those shot finders, the police do. They said, we have a year for years, and they can tell the difference between fireworks and gunshots. And 2 years ago, it was like 400. Then it got up to like 800. This year, it's over 1,000 shots were fired in a pretty small town. And I didn't hear any in Los Angeles for one of the first times. It wasn't a total riot on the 4th of July. Different parts of town have different stories, but I heard in Koreatown they went off and like Western and Beverly near the Dope.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there?
I live there, but I didn't have to deal with the 4th of July crowd.
Where were you on the 4th of July?
I was in on a hill in City Terrace.
Where's City Terrace?
It's off of the 10, like right after the 10 and 101 split. So kind of towards the East LA area, but not quite. Beautiful view.
I guess that's why they call it City Terrace.
Oh, yeah.
Do you, or what are you looking at, up at LA or down?
You can see downtown. I could see Dodger Stadium and then kind of into like the Highland Park area, I guess.
I time of my life where I lived in Lincoln Heights. And this is kind of between, or if you did a little triangle from Washington Heights to Lincoln Heights, or Washington Park, Lincoln Heights, to downtown, you could see the Dodger Stadium. You like, I see the back of the Griffith Park Observatory. It's really cool. And downtown, a great view of downtown. It was the shitty apartment featured in, not the vampire Twilight, but a Paul Newman, Susan Sarandon movie called Twilight. And it was supposed to be in the script, the like dingiest apartment in town. But they dressed it up, obviously, but they just used it because this view out the balcony,
which
couldn't hold more than three people. It was like rotted old wood. And we'd have parties at this house, and we built a hot tub. It was so hot one summer, we filled a kiddie pool up with water, and we're out on this, and one of the guys for the house is like, I think the balcony's going to crash in. We had like five people in this tub. Fun times. But it was up on a hill in Lincoln Heights. All the gang activity was down at the bottom of the hill, and all the crack addicts couldn't make it up the hill to rob you. It was too steep and too high of a hill. It was like really one of those really steep hills. And really cool view. Really, really cool. But tough parts of town sometimes. Lived in Echo Park and Lincoln Heights, Koreatown. Where are you from? No, it was very scary and dangerous for a white boy in Koreatown. Yeah. I did 8 years on the same block that the most wanted MS gang member lived on.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, no, really. And everyone knew his name. And just say hi to his mom. Oh, hey, mom. It's a little block. They sold trannies on the corner. You'd come out like 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday and you're like, what is going on over there? they're selling themselves. Maybe drugs, I don't know.
Something.
Call the police. No, don't you dare fucking call the police. You don't, that would be you. That's like, it's like prison rules in Koreatown.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There's this punk rock house. Wound up being just a few blocks from where one of our friends lived that had literally a punk rock house. Dive, crash bar, and fun. And great, would normally be like a big single family home, maybe 2-3 bedrooms.
Yeah.
It even had a rehab house in the back called the rehab room. And anyone who got too out of control or was on like house arrest, they had to live in this little room with no bathroom, no kitchen, anything.
Oh.
It's the rehab room. you're grounded. And punk rock house, I saw, oh God, rock, you know, concerts and fights and great parties there. And another great punk rock house on Bonnie Bray. Right over, like you could almost see Echo Park, but Bonnie Bray, you can't quite see, but it's like two blocks from where the actual Echo Park Lake is.
Okay.
And Bonnie Bray's this big, like, heroin scoring area. And there's a great punk rock house that advertised on Facebook, charged a cover, sold beer, and it was like minor, underage, over. It didn't matter. It was mostly kids. It was like really mostly kids. I hope they didn't sell them booze. Not, I believe in good responsibility as a parent. It was really cool, but I would love that they would like turn this into a business to make rent.
Yeah, people do that, I know.
The gunshots burning in LA, it's getting, seems better. You go, see, I know the routes in town that the cops don't take. There's some streets you're on, you're like, what the fuck? There's 900 cops on the Hollywood Boulevard. You want to get pulled over in Los Angeles, drive any section of Hollywood, period, any section of Hollywood Boulevard, they'll be on you quickly. Cracked windshield, tags a little out of date. Oh, they're going to stop and check to make sure everything's okay. Trust me. And then there's other parts of Tennessee. I know all the secret routes. No cops. Is 55 miles an hour on Sunset too fast?
Probably.
Not the, like, curvy area near UCLA, not the I'm talking like near Guitar Center, right? Is that too fast?
I'd say so.
And a motorcycle, not driving a chrome
was
Karma.
Was there traffic?
None.
I don't know.
None, zero. And if there was, they're already doing 45.
Yeah, I guess they go that fast.
55 too fast on Sunset. It could be. That's a good question. Do the freeways too much sometimes at night after the show here at skidrowstudios.com. Sometimes we'll wrap up and hit one of the bars or whatever around here, and I'll be like, I, you know what, I'm just just brave enough to get on the freeway for the, you know, five or six exits or whatever it is before I get to my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I could take surface streets and it takes like 25, 30 minutes. I could be there in 10, 15 minutes if I take the freeway. But that on a small motorcycle, I drive a Honda Rebel, the smallest, it's a 250. It's a 233.
Oh.
It's legal. It's though it's legal on the freeways. It doesn't feel right. It's like rattling around. You feel every little bump, every little gust of wind, every car passing or you pass, you feel it going. It's pretty fucking scary. And I guess I had way more balls when I was younger. And now I'm like, I'm slowing down. I'm like feeling my mortality.
Yeah.
Happens when you're 50 something? I'm 42 years old. But when I was 8, they said I was 8 going on 40. So I guess that's why I'm jumping into 50s and stuff. I feel old.
Yeah.
But I feel young. I feel like a kid. I got lots of energy. I love love the business and, you know, making believe and having people watch that. But I also think that it's it ain't all fun and games. It takes a lot of work. And so Justin Bieber, if you're listening, which no fucking way Justin's listening, we'd have to like bootleg, play his music or, you know, do like computer generated animation of him having sex with a panda bear. We'd have to like do really something huge that was then picked up by like Reddit and then, you know, put on, then finally mainstream media a week later is like, oh, there's this meme of, you know, Justin Bieber having sex with a panda bear brought to you by Skid Row Studios. Still, that would, you could antagonize somebody and maybe get, you know, a cease and desist. But how do you get someone like that on the show with any, you know, they'd be like, what's in it for us? Look, we'd like
free
to have
advertisement.
You on the show.
Maybe there's one of your listeners has never heard of Justin Bieber.
You know what? Most of our listeners probably haven't listened to a lot of Justin Bieber.
I know of him. I don't think I've ever sat and listened to any of his songs.
You haven't seen Justin Bieber, Never Say Never? The documentary that came out?
No, I haven't.
Huge hit. Monster hit.
I'm really bad with movies.
An insightful look into the coming of age of Justin, his growth as an artist.
I hear he was a drummer.
I have such a mocking fucking voice. Sometimes I think people are like, dude, are you mocking me?
Are you serious? Are you a fan?
Of Justin?
Yeah.
I was until he started pulling stunts like hitting photographers and racing on the freeway. I'm a fan of his work ethic because if you watch the documentary, you'll see what it takes to get a million you know, Twitter friends or 30 million or 40 million, whatever he has.
Yeah.
You see what it takes to get the million views that it took for his first, you know, video on YouTube to get it. And that it was organized, marketed, steadfast, supported by the same manager that's running his tour now. They were the same people, the group that were like, we help promote, we record, we hook you up with artists, the whole package. Some groups are more reputable than others. There's the ones that, you know, I'm not saying that they're not reputable, but their business model is a little more questionable, like the group that did the Rebecca Black Friday video. Oh. They straight up charge parents $4,000, $6,000 if you want the master tapes and the rights to re-record or whatever. We'll give you everything. We'll sell you the song and everything. These are the packages. You get a music video, you get a single, and you know, you get all the, you know, DVDs and a website and all this other good stuff. And that's what Rebecca Black had done.
Oh.
Her parents were like, sure. They paid these guys who write 18 songs a week. And it was like midnight. It was Thursday night. And so it was already Friday. And the guy was like, oh, it's Friday. And he wrote this song. And it was ridiculed and mocked, but it hits 30, 40, 50, 600, 100 and whatever million views this video has.
Yeah. Doesn't she just sing one note the whole song?
No, there's a melody.
There's a melody?
Yeah. There's... Which seat should I take? Because it's Friday, sitting down Friday. And we're looking forward to the weekend. There's many notes.
Yeah.
Not a big range. I think it's literally like an octave range or something.
Yeah, like four note range maybe.
Which all really good melodies to rock are Mary Had a Little Lamb. They're just simple. They're, you know, four note range. See, actors secretly want to be musicians.
Yeah.
They do. They want to be rock stars. They want to, you know, play guitar and put on an album and And rock stars want to be porn stars, and porn stars want to be actors.
Oh, man. Do you know that guy, Hal Sparks?
Yeah.
He has a band. He rented from my work, and he was like a little kid giddy about going on tour.
Yeah, he gets to play make-believe as the rock band god or whatever. That's great.
He was so happy about it. He was so happy to like have any type of like the musical discussions about touring and everything. He reminded me of a little kid.
I wonder, it's like Jared Leto. I actually like their singles, and I like Mars or whatever. I don't remember the name of the band, but I like the Jared Leto one. And I liked the song, and then someone told me, by the way, that's Jared Leto. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I still like the song. But it's kind of cool when they can pull it off.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear, is it Jeff Bridges is really talented musician?
Yeah. He won an Oscar for Crazy Heart, and he plays and sings in that. Oh. And I guess it's because he can't. Gary Busey and Jake Busey both play. We know Bruce Willis is out there. I'm sure Andy Garcia.
Steve Martin.
What is that?
Banjo.
What is that banjo? Not an easy instrument to play. Justin. Listen, slow the fuck down. Slow down your life. Slow down your car. We know you're making the money, and there's a lot of people that are going to be like saying, keep going and make, pushing tours. Do it if you can, but if you're snapping, take a fucking break.
Yeah.
Take 2 months. It's not going to kill you. You come right back. Christmas album, we'll love you. But do a movie. That's amazing. You get lots of time on your hands. 3 months somewhere else, because they don't shoot movies in LA anymore. So you'll be on location. You'll be, playing something. We'll get you somebody that has enough, edge so that, satisfies your ego, Justin, to be the bad boy. But you're a really good kid and you're a really fucking hard worker. Your brain is telling you at 18 to start to rebel from authority figures, and you're going to start to piss off your managers a little bit more. You have a really great buddy. If you watch the documentaries, you got to see Never Say Never.
I'll watch it. Huge, I'll go huge. For it.
And I mean it in a half kitschy way, but once you watch, you'll go, oh shit, that's what it takes.
Yeah.
And you go, I had admiration for him.
Cool.
Well, maybe. Maybe people are like, you're a fucking geek, Keith. I can't believe that. Justin Bieber, you're a believer. I'm a believer. Bail has been granted for George Zimmerman, set at $1 million because he's a flight risk. So Trayvon Martin and their supporters are going to be, pretty upset. They don't want him going anywhere, and they want him to be able to face the charges. And it's so amazing. Once again, the media spinning things, and depending on who owns the newspaper, the website, the TV station, it'll be vigilante secures bail, or it'll be, the center of a controversy. That's kind of like painting it in a better way. It's always a sensitive subject. Race is still, unfortunately, in this country, and it still is in Hollywood. There's too many white faces on TV. They don't represent the true balance of the population. Certainly don't represent the balanced population of Los Angeles at 52% Latino, or I believe it were absolutely Caucasians are total minority, 20, maybe 30%. And it's not represented on TV.
No.
They're not even close. They're like 7 out of 10 parts, or 7 out of 100 are Latino, and 2 out of 100 are black. Maybe there's an Asian. It's like, it's insulting and it's absurd. And they do have, the Screen Actors Guild do give studios breaks for hiring minorities, for hiring handicapped, for hiring deaf, blind, people with no limbs, whatever it is, they get all, they save money, and they're encouraged to try to show the diversity on screen.
Yeah.
So go fucking Zoe Saldana, kick-ass girl. Everyone's loving Syriana. They may not have turned out and helped you show that you can open a movie. But Zoe, everyone's loving Colombiana at home. All my friends are telling me that Colombiana's great. If you like Domino, you'll love Colombiana. Go support this. Let's get some women in action films. Japanese have been doing it for decades. It's one of their tropes. We don't put studio money after Catwoman. God damn it, Halle Berry, you screwed it up. For took so long for women to get back into it. Angelina Jolie pushed it. Salt was great. I think Salt was great, sorry. Brave. Brave is showing, you know, that girls can be the center. It was Katniss and Hunger Games and Twilight. They're like, heroines can be box office. You know, Cutthroat Island with Gina Davis was a huge box office failure in the mind of everybody. It made its money overseas. It wasn't like this huge bomb that everybody thought it was. But crush, you know, can crush a career. One, you get your big shot. You've been supporting. You've been in this. You know, you're a bit player in these really big pictures and you get this huge career. And then they come and they make an offer. You're going to be the lead in this. And it's going to be a tentpole picture. And we're going to spend millions in advertising. And it's writing on you. And they do things like it's not in 4,000 theaters. It's in 1,700 theaters. It's on TV all over the place. No, in LA, New York, Washington, Chicago, you know, Dallas. It's not everywhere. It's in the major markets. And then it comes out and the box office is like, oh, 47 million. And they're like, oh, it ain't 100 million blockbuster. It lost money. No, it costs 20, 30 million to make, you know, instead of the 100 million that these other movies make. So support it. Haywire, independent feature with a mixed martial arts woman. And it's kick-ass, great action. Girl with Dragon Tattoo. They're catching on. So now we're dealing with the other half of the population that we've been, you know, not supporting in that way. Women in these roles. They've given less box office for years. They could be leads in the movies, but their names aren't even above the male actors in the movies. If it's an ensemble piece, they'll be last in the credits. It's like, you know, even Julia Roberts got dicked in Ocean's 12 or whatever. Sharpen up. They've kind of figured out there's niches, and they'll have the Latino-based show or the African-American shows all grouped in on one night, or, you know, this. And it's kind of obvious to audiences, too. You're like, oh, certain audiences might watch that. I don't know if they did a Brothers McMillan. It's a bunch of, you know, Irish brothers fighting, you know, with an alcoholic dad. And it's like, you're going to get Boston's going to watch. You know, I'm a Coogan. I'm Irish. Sure, I've watched the pilot, but, you know, that's why I love Modern Family, because it's kind of diverse. Some people are a little darker. There's no black people on the show, but there are a same-sex couple who've adopted a child who's dealing with the dad who's pretty old school generational, and Modern Family is still a favorite of mine. Can't wait for the TV season to come back. Summer is a time when TV fucking sucks. They want you to get outside and go spend money at concerts and the movies. Buy a car, buy some beer, go see a movie. That's all the ads are. Summer Olympics are coming. We're gonna be hammered by advertisements this summer from the London Olympics. 7-7. And we thankfully did not have a terrorist attack in London. You all know I'm a conspiracy theorist. Those are my friends that have ever called me on my iPhone and gotten my voicemail message. You know what a freak I am. Not that I necessarily believe or support all these views, but I read them and I put them into my little, you know, Philodex on what's going on. Information. I'm an information whore. I've been reading since I was very young, 3 years old, and I still read voraciously. I'm sorry, I'm burping into the audience's ear. Here's an ad for Corona Light. Fine beer, cerveza, modelo, brewed and bottled in Mexico. And I don't know if they had to pay the tax on that. Oh, cigarette smokers out there that think you're being sneaky and going to a roll-your-own store. They have these stores that are roll-your-own. Instead of paying whatever the hell it is a carton, it's like half off or something. You don't pay. There's no taxes on it. President Obama has said, oh, we've adjusted that. Sorry, little loophole there. That's a manufacturing because you're rolling the cigarettes there at the store. They're like, put them, you pick a tobacco and then they put them in tubes for you. I have a friend that had been doing that. As of now, they changed it. We fixed the error. They're now taxing home rolled or roll your own cigarettes as the same as rolled cigarettes. So maybe if people get drum or, you know, and roll your own, get some zigzags and get some drum, man. I roll my own. Like a smoke less, dude, because like you just whip out a cigarette and you smoke. But here you have to like, all right, I'm going to roll one and then, you know, lick it and then I smoke it. I smoke less. Bullshit. You're cheap or you're broke. Now you're going to have to pay more. Thanks. It's a sin tax. Taxes on fatty foods and alcohol and Coca-Cola. And they already figured out a way to finally tax marijuana. Huge $1 million liability raid in Long Beach when Long Beach Police Department in a raid to an unlicensed dispensary kicked in the door, stood on the head and neck of the employee who was totally submitting and surrendering. Video footage, which was stored on an off-site location, so they have it all. Cops pointed the camera and they smashed the camera. Second camera points at the other camera, smashes the camera. Totally trashed the shop, took the money, took the weed. They're suing. The dispensary is suing the police department for $1 million. Brave attorney, you're all going to wind up dead in a ditch. Pay the fee, do the tax, do the payoff. Whatever city councilman you got to rub, go rub them, okay? Put your gloves on and give them a hand job. Do what you got to do to stay open. That's how regular businesses do it. The fuck do you think restaurants that are competing with the mayor's restaurant downtown, The Pantry, this is years ago when Dick Reardon was mayor, do you think that he wants your restaurant to really fucking succeed? No. I'm sure the county health might show up a little bit more. Anyone see Chinatown? Just regular politics. And LA's probably cleaner than other cities. I know other cities are totally corrupt and broke and bankrupt and they're done. They have no more services, no more fire, no more police, no more. So, am I getting on a good rant? This is fun. LA is, we've had tax assessment scandals where the rich folks were paying. If they promised to help somebody's political campaign, their property tax would be reduced. And they found it was like hundreds of homes that were involved, millions of dollars difference between the taxes they should have been paying. And they were just taking the difference or some of it and paying it to someone's political career. Everyone's been arrested. You know, we do have do-gooders. We do have some guys in town who break, you know, the smash programs and who bust the Rampart scandals. But generally, cops don't like other cops to rat on cops. So good luck on your lawsuit, their dispensary in Long Beach. You're going to die. As I'm kind of on a rant, I'm going to mention Brad Pitt's mother and her anti-gay pro Mitt Romney letter to the editor of a paper, but it was picked up by the internets. They published it. Everybody went batshit. You know, Brad Pitt, this like stoner guy that came out wearing a chicken suit in LA to make a living and is now, you know, multi-million dollar star, married to Angelina Jolie. His mom does not support Obama, does not support gay marriage, and does not, and was saying that any, you know, if you really want the country to come back, you got to put all your money into Romney. It's amazing. Everyone has been very, very polite in their response. Fuck you, bitch. Honestly. Because you want to talk about the economy? You want to talk about, you know, what's going on in Congress? Great. Talking about someone's civil rights. You're the South in the fucking 50s right now. And so people get that gay marriage, I'm a supporter. I'm not gay. I'm not lesbian. I'm not transgender. I'm not bisexual. But I support them. So there's GLBTS or whatever is the full term. GLBTN supporters. And you fucked with the wrong crowd. 1 out of 9 Americans are gay. They run the fucking, you think the Jews run town? No, they do not. I love that term. The Jews run town. Mel, thank God you're a big enough star to pull it off on your own. Did you see Kill the Gringo? You still Kill the Gringo is pretty good. He went independent and Mel Gibson went, I'll come back topic. Maybe not. But Mel Gibson, you got to see Kill the Gringo. He self-financed it. I think it cost 10 or 18 million or something like that. Self-financed it and then released it straight to video on demand and Blu-ray. He went totally no theaters. And it made its money back in the first subscription that was on like, you know, one of the pay-per-view cable channels. And it was part of the cable. If you're just subscribed, you get to see the show. You get to see the movie. So you can challenge it. You think that there's a Jewish mafia in this town? There's a gay mafia. There is a gay mafia of network executives, developers, creators, producers. They don't just hire gay people. They don't just hire gay actors. Oh, you come to my church of gay, then I'll hire your gay. That's, you know, bullshit. I don't think the Catholics should do it. People claim the Scientologists have some sort of thing. Bullshit either. Go look up any Scientologist or supposed Scientologist in their credits. Not every show is a Scientologist producer and not every producer always casting. That's, you know, there's never this kind of tight network group except with the gays. You fucked with the wrong crowd. They're dressed well, they're organized, they smell good, and they're going to fucking bury you. The gay agenda. They did it. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was the induction. Now people are straight up watching RuPaul's Drag Race. Good. And it's making money. Unfortunately, Absolute is the sponsor for RuPaul's Drag Race. And there's been, for years, the gay community has been associated with partying and hedonism. And I don't like the fact that an alcohol is, you know, the sponsor for them. Ooh, brought to you by Bacardi. It's like, that's, could be something a better choice or healthier to represent. Like high income and the fact that, you know, their incomes are probably growing. I say they're just as racist, homophobic, and classing people into a class as anybody else would do, even if you do it positively. But still, there could be a trend, and this is just anecdotal. It's not because people are gay, but they got their fucking shit together and can fucking present a good, if they're pitching up against somebody else, God damn it. And you don't have to know. There's so many closeted gays, totally look straight. Hi, I'm from Texas. How you doing? I'm 6'9", you know. Great, nice to meet you, Biff. Dude, he's queer in a $2 bill. That'd be like one of my grandpa's terms or something. That's like a movie term. I don't think he really talked about that. Racism has been coming up for me this week a bit. And friends have been telling me about stories and certain words have been said to people. And it's time to acknowledge that the same-sex marriage fight is damn similar to the civil rights issue. And I think that I really congratulate the NAACP for supporting the president and his decision to support same-sex marriage. That I think that sends a huge message to the Black community. Like, you know, you could be just as homophobic as any other race. Support the president on this one. It kind of sort of is similar in a way. And it's awful as this white boy with nothing to say about nothing of it. It was in the mainstream media. They were like, actually, yeah, about a fourth of the, quote, Black groups weren't supporting the decision. Majority, more than majority, 75% of them were on board supporting the president publicly. That's cool. And they were saying, then right when they were saying it's not a civil rights issue, immediately the main trend was it is. It is a civil rights issue. And we can call it a civil rights fight. So if a couple of years from now, people like Brad Pitt's mom feel like an asshole because they're like, oh, Blacks shouldn't marry whites. Gays shouldn't have kids. Gays shouldn't get married. Blacks shouldn't own land. Gays shouldn't own land. See where this is going? So Brad Pitt's mom, here's a big call sheet. Shame on you. And I'd like to see you move forward with this. I would like to see a response. I'd like to see either defend your position or come clean and go, well, here's why I said this. And you know what? I'm totally wrong and I'm fucking sorry. Something, but you kind of put it out there and it's been picked up. You write a letter to the editor that is public. Please, come on, not the message. Angelina and Brad, supported. They said they weren't going to get married until everyone in California could get married. It's a great line. Yes, we're a little political here. I try to keep it to as much Hollywood stuff as I can. I'll either center it around a Hollywood person or something, or, you know, industry or a trend that's in films. Sometimes I just fucking get titillated by news stories. Germany or Florida? This is a great game. They'll be like, oh, cannibal. And da, da, da. All right, where did it happen?
You want me to pick?
Germany or Florida? No, it's a game that people have played. I don't even know good examples, but yeah, like the bath salt story.
Oh,
face-eating okay. Cannibal. Germany or Florida? In Japan, apparently, there was a special gourmet session where a performance artist had cut off his testicles, kept them on ice, and served them in a $15,000 plate dinner. And diners were here with some, you know, foie gras and nice Chianti, and this guy's nuts.
Did they know that's what they were eating?
Yep.
Wow.
And he's done it before with his blood. He said people drink his blood or... And I've seen monochrome. I don't know if anyone's familiar with monochrome. It's like monochrome, but without the E at the end. It'll fuck your head up. Monochrome is a guy that is a context hacker. He'll take your expectation of a certain medium and what you expect to see there, and he'll subvert it. And he'll subvert it so well that you buy into it. They're kind of like the Yes Men, con artist on a really grand scale, using the media, which is, everybody knows this is a game, this is a come on, this is a front. We use facades and fake sets and flats and, you know, lights, and we put on makeup and everyone looks a little prettier than people do in real life. People accept this as real life. So monochrome fucks with you. Fuck, download a computer game. You've been fucked with. And the fuck with you in a way that you didn't expect. Download this one computer game you're playing, and it's supposed to be about how you're playing a Russian a commander who's in the proletariat and he has a Dachau out in the country. And he walks from screen to screen and sees depressed women with their sons dead in war and talk about how depressed. And he goes, okay, have a good day, comrade. And then you can walk to this next screen. You're like, what is this game? You play for a while and you're like, okay, I kind of get the joke. This is like just feeling like I'm in, it's like gray and dingy and doomy music. And the story, there's like no story. It's all about payoffs and just, you know, the corruption of Russia at the time, or the alleged corruption. And then you go to quit the game. Here's where monochrome will context hack you. You go to quit the game and the menu is in Russian. Okay. So you're like, fine. I know how menus work. This is probably this. This is help. This, and this is the last one on the bottom is probably quit. You go to hit it. It goes back to the main screen. You're like, okay, wait. You go, fine, I'll escape it. Okay. You can't escape out of the... A lot of times on Mac, you can just hit escape or whatever. No. All right, fine. There's like a version of Control-Alt-Delete on the Mac. You like hold down all these buttons on the left-hand side. It's like escape and tab and this, and then you boom, you hit all four at the same time. And you can break any process and break out of anything. You can quit any crash thing or anything like that. It didn't work. So they created a game that was locked in so well and had disabled all of the ways that you could get out of, you're stuck in the game. You have to physically turn your computer off and then reboot. And if you ever play the game again, it does the same thing. You get stuck in it forever. Pretty genius. But they do other things. They have, they're doing a movie. They did a space station soap opera. It took place on the International Space Station. And they built a mock-up of the space station and had astronauts in suits going over mundane things like, you didn't put the pen back where I usually put the pen. Oh, I didn't sleep well, so I'd used your pen. Sorry. Okay, we'll go on to the next mission. Hours and hours of this boring, weird soap opera. So this is the kind of shit that they do. I don't know what they're up to, but go check out Monochrome. Search it in Google and stuff like that, and they'll fuck with your head a little bit. I like that. I like things like that. I had mentioned the Long Beach story before, but this is trying to tie into savages. Oliver Stone is back with his ultra violence. It is a tale of Southern California drug dealers fighting, opposing
the feds and the Mexican cartel that are trying to bring the drugs off the border. Dude, it's just fucking romp and stomp and action. There's no good guys. Everybody's a bad guy to some degree. There's nobody to root for. It's reminiscent, they say, of Traffic. And as he's been doing his press tour, Oliver Stone says he knows where the best weed is. And in the movie, he has characters that say this. He goes, California. He goes, we've been working on it. We've been working on strains. We've been working on the science of it. We have amazing resources and sunlight and weather and all this other good crap. Areas where they pretty much do leave you alone in Marin County and such. Or Humboldt or whatever. He goes, our weed's better than theirs. Our weed's better than anything you can import. So the movie's apparently about that. Haven't seen it. It's just hit. It's doing well. It's about third behind. It had made like $5 or $6 million Friday night, which means a projection $15 to $20 million for the weekend. Modest, moderate budget, but still huge all-star cast, Savages with Oliver Stone. And I love that he, there's rumors that he did, had his actors do coke and shrooms and all sorts of speed and whatever. He would pick a character, your character does shrooms. There's rumors that he with Shia LaBeouf, and this wasn't rumors, Shia LaBeouf, how do you say his name? Shia LaBeouf?
I don't know.
Shia LaBeouf. LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf, who? Oh, car accident. See, watch it, Justin. You'll lose your fucking hand like Shia did. No joke, his hand was mangled and crushed. And on the poster of Wall Street Never Sleeps, Money Never Sleeps, they're covering it up. And they covered up in the trailers in the movie. That was the first movie he did after his surgeries. They made up fake fucking fingers and hand. Like, it was gone. Wrecked under his truck. Shia LaBeouf. Oh, Oliver Stone had told him, all right, this is really emotional scene. I need you to be really vulnerable. So you see that bar over there? You just point to a dive bar across the street. You go, I want you to go in there and get hammered and then come back to set.
That's good strategy.
Really? What the fuck are you, Francis Ford Coppola? My God.
Is he trying to get the drunk guy?
No, he knows he knew that when Shia LaBeouf was drunk, when he'd had three in him or whatever, he would get fucking weepy. He would cry and he would get shaky and emotional. And so he's like, that's what I need right now. And I need to get there now. Go across the street and fucking get hammered and come back here. Cool. And he's, you know, he's, Oliver Stone's one of the last true auteurs, one of the last true directors that I'm sure nobody fucks with Steven Spielberg on the set. But I think there's a greater chance you'll get shot or hit or hurt by Oliver Stone. He's pretty, him and David Mamet are two hard-ass filmmakers that live the life that their films are. Probably he did just as much fucking coke as in Salvador as the characters did. He's mentioned, yeah, I did that. I did blow. I did so much blow while I was writing Platoon. And then wins an Oscar for it. So go, Oliver. Good independent voice. Not, you know, celebrating or promoting drug use, but I think marijuana is pretty harmless to most people. I've been connected to it because of my stoner role or roles couple I have done. I played, literally played a character named Pato in a movie.
Oh, cool. What movie?
It was called A Reason to Believe, and it's a college date rape movie that indicts the Greek system and frats and, and sororities and... yeah, and it was, we got kicked off the campus. We were shooting in Oxford, Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. Same town they shot Little Man Tate, the Jodie Foster movie she directed. Looks like the perfect little fucking college town with like 10 little shops on their main street and the brick college with the trees and everything. This was, he blamed the school. He blamed the administration. He blamed, and based off one of the true stories they told us, and it's a date rape movie. One of the brothers leaves town and one of his frat brothers has sex with his girlfriend. And she's like, no, no, no. The drug dealer, Pato, witnesses it from like the treehouse. He's like getting smoking hash with some guy or something in the treehouse. And they're looking in, look, someone's having sex. And I realize, oh my God, it's my brother's girlfriend. And it's, that's not him. He's out of town. So I've seen it and I can't come forward because I'm just the drug dealer. they're going to rat me out to the administration and I can't. So I've like tell them in secret. I'm like, look, this is what I saw. And they're like, fuck you, Pato. You know, anyway, it's kind of cool. And it was one of those, had real alcohol. Doug Tirola, the director, had real alcohol on the set. Not totally, he had a keg for the extras and everything, but there'd be scenes where people would shooting like four shots and the last one would be vodka. It'd be water, 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 vodka. Sometimes he'd tell people, sometimes he wouldn't. He had an actor, Seth, I think, who could puke on cue. So at the end, he needed like a next morning shot of like one guy waking up on the lawn and all the trash, all the beer cans and all that shit, party cups. And he needed him to bend over and just yak. And he like dry heaves and that little trickle comes out that you know is actual bile from a, you know, about to puke. Now, thank God it wasn't a full and like splat. But he's Noah. I think it was Noah. God, I love it when extras are like, I will do anything for your movie. Would you set you on fire? Sure, dude. We're going to drive the car. Really, okay. Okay, the lion's going to come. All right. Sounds cool. Put the meat right on me. The extras will totally, and like townsfolk will do anything. Unfortunately, you don't have to. We have stuntmen. They're union. They get paid. If it's dangerous, you think it's dangerous, don't fucking do it. You don't have to take your clothes off to audition. You don't have to take nudie pictures. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do in this town. You don't feel comfortable. You know what? I'm not fucking comfortable with that. And if you have balls, they're going to respect that. You're a big pushover. You're going to get eaten like a fucking piece of meat. I'm Keith Coogan. This is The Call Sheet. Here we are at Skid Row Studios in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for listening for the past hour. We have a minute left, and I got nothing. I got nothing left. Thank you for listening. Justin, be good out there. Tuesday night at Pine.
Redwood Bar and Grill.
The Redwood Bar and Grill. And isn't that right here in downtown?
Yeah, it's 2nd and Hill.
2nd and Hill. There's information on the intertubes about that. And you can see Mindy Jorgensen, our engineer here at Skid Row with Dangerously Sleazy. What is it, like 4 or 5 bands that night?
I think there's 4.
And it costs $500 to get in. Oh, no, wait.
500 pennies.
500 pennies?
Yeah.
Oh, I read the text all wrong. No, I'm kidding. Oh. It was Facebook. Thank you. Great poster. Great show. Thanks for listening, guys. And be good to each other. Justin, slow the fuck down. And Andy Griffith, you will be missed. I'm Keith Coogan. This is The Call Sheet. Thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
Welcome to the weekly wrap-up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Kike Castillo. How are you?
Hola, Gasito.
I am good.
How are you?
I am, a little bummed out. We're going to start off with that story today, actually. We'll eventually get to politics. We'll talk about Planned Parenthood. We'll visit the Super Bowl one more time to make me happy.
Of course. You have to talk about that.
Kike will fill us in on the rest of the headlines. But unfortunately, we're going to start with the loss of a legend.
Wow.
Jeremy?
Go ahead, Gus.
You
play it again.
You want to play our Legends' last performance?